Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, to the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food producers and food consumers. It's really Wednesday. Is it really Wednesday, J.C. Cole?
It is Wednesday, over the hump day.
Even in New Jersey?
Even in New Jersey, yes. Undisclosed location in
Undisclosed. New Jersey. Close to a Tractor Supply where you have to give your whereabouts if you buy chickens. That's ridiculous. Yes. I still can't get over that.
Yes. Oh, they're just keeping track on everything you do.
Yeah, I know. So what do you got going on this week?
Well, interestingly enough, I had a couple of emails from our listeners, and this is kind of funny because they're both extreme sides of the country. And you got a shout out from Jerry in New Hampshire. And New Hampshire, you can't get that from here. I had spent 2 years in university in New Hampshire and absolutely loved the state. And actually, you know, if sewage hits the fan, New Hampshire is one of the best places on the East Coast to be, but mostly up north away from the center cities. And then I got an interesting email.
To qualify that statement. That's because New Hampshire continues to, the premise exists that New Hampshire is a great Bill of Rights state, in particular the Second Amendment. Is that what you're alluding to?
Well, there's a whole combination of issues. One is, I think on their license plate, it says live free or die.
Yeah.
And they have mountains. They have lakes. And they don't have a tremendous population density, maybe down south near Nashua the other big one. But, you know, they're not on the ocean. You know, they're in one state. Maine is on the ocean. And then you have Vermont a little bit farther west. And Vermont kind of got invaded by liberals back in the 70s and 80s. So New Hampshire's quite conservative, so it's actually a pretty decent place. And their tax, if I'm not mistaken, their tax system is quite nice, that I recall.
And yet, New Hampshire, I went there a few years ago because Tina Fey, not the actor, the person, the real person from New Hampshire, got involved in one of the most egregious animal rights witch hunts I've seen yet to date. And so I was there when she was sentenced in court for no crime whatsoever. And it's like, my goodness, this New Hampshire may have the image of being a conservative state, but I witnessed things that were, it's still a New England state. Let's just put it that way.
Well, yes. And then the other great state, I think, to be in if it really gets bad is North Carolina, the Western Mountains. Now, not out by Asheville, but not Asheville itself.
Right.
In the very famous book, One Second After, which is kind of like the wake-up Bible for the preppers, took place right outside Asheville. It was, and I highly recommend getting that off of Audible and listening to it because it is stunning what can happen if our electric grid goes down. Excuse me for a second.
That's 1 second after that first flight by Wilbur and Orville at Kitty Hawk.
I would say, right. So, let's see what else. So I got an email from one of our listeners out in Los Angeles, Gabe, and it got me thinking. He was thinking about relocating maybe to New York, And that brings up and opens up a whole bunch of questions. And the first is, you know, if you're going to, you have to look at where you are. And sometimes people can't relocate. So you want to get, the experts say if something bad happens, you'll get maybe 3 hours away. But if you're going to relocate, you want to get away from oceans, population centers, and locations that require electricity to survive. Well, Los Angeles qualifies on all three of those, right? And so does New York City, so does Long Island, so does Florida. You know, if you're in Florida, while Florida seems like it could be real nice, if you lose electricity, you're going to be quite
yeah,
unhappy.
Up a creek without a paddle.
That's right. And you know, I responded back to Gabe and said, well, you want to watch this, and I recommend this to listeners. You want to watch a TV show called The Colony, and it was in 2009. Now, they actually came out with another TV show called The Colony a couple of years later, which was totally different and is about an alien invasion. But The Colony in 2009 was a reality show where an EMP, an electronic magnetic pulse, hit Los Angeles and turned off the electricity. And they had 10 volunteers that locked themselves basically in a abandoned warehouse for 3 months and went through a lot of things that will happen if we get an EMP. And now they did add a bit of Hollywood to it because they had to have the show, you know, emotionally.
Creative license is what they call that. There's a creative license for 20% of every Hollywood production.
Right. But it is, you can get it off the internet and watch it. And it deals with some very important issues and how to solve them. And one of the things that will come down to it is if we get really a bad situation, you want to have what's known as a MAG or a mutual assistant group. A bunch of people have skills that you can trust and work together. That's a rough estimate of it. And there's a good book out by Charlie Hogwood on that mutual assistance group that gives you and brings in a lot of insights because, you know, you're going to have emotional issues and how to deal with them and some of the important things. But, you know, when I got the email from Gabe, you know, he says he's a composer and musical and musician. And you go, well, that's not exactly the skill sets we need if the system breaks. But it made me think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And we haven't discussed that. And what was it? Abraham Maslow came up with this human pyramid of needs. And this kind of explains prepping pretty nicely. Your physiological needs is the base, the foundation, air, water, food, shelter, sleep, clothing, and reproduction. Then it jumps to the next one, safety needs, personal security, employment, resources, health, and property. And so if you're looking at the prepping side, that's exactly what we're focused on. But in long-term lockdown, you go to some of the other needs like love and belonging, friendship, intimacy, family, sense of connection. And what did they do with our lockdown for the COVID myth is they tried to break that. And then you go to the higher level, esteem, respect, self-esteem, status, recognition, strength, freedom. And actually, a lot of that is what was taken away during the communist time, that people couldn't really get up there and have self-esteem and status and recognition. Right? And then finally, the top is self-actualization. And part of that is music and arts, you know, the spice of life, you might say. So having a balance in your MAG, your mutual assistance group is quite wise. Yeah.
We have to mag out of here, but I do see where art and music needs to be a part of mag, because you have the essentials, but one of the essentials and physical needs is mental health. And you're going to need some form of normalcy through this period of chaos, or you know, it doesn't matter how much food you have. You won't function properly. We'll be back with more Roll Route JC Cole after this. Let's take this opportunity and talk about a reliable supply of electricity. I am point blank talking about coal. Lignite Energy does a tremendous job getting the coal. Well, the Lignite Energy Council actually gives you the information about retrieving the coal from the soil. It's the individuals that make it happen. I am Lignite is the best depiction of the human element of the coal business and what the individuals will do to generate our electricity so that we can keep the lights on. Life powered by coal. Details at lignite.com. Welcome back. Roll Route. Trent Luce alongside JC Cole, bringing us the arts and humanities of the mutual assistance group. I've never heard of that term, but it makes total sense to me.
Which term?
MAG.
Mutual MAG.
Assistance group.
The real preppers go for it. MAG. Well, you need two MAGs, right?
I got the other MAG covered.
Right, which leads into one of the other things is we make suggestions here, and I got a call from one of my neighbor farmers, Tim, because he has a coyote problem, and all of a sudden we're seeing them in our area. And our area is semi-populated, you might say, but our county is what 320,000 people. So we saw one on our neighbor's farm last week, and Tim has some sheep, and he already lost two lambs, and had one of his ewes bitten. So he called me up, and he wanted to borrow my night vision. I'm like, well, of course you can borrow it right now, but this is one of the things.
Yeah, I'm glad you put that little time limit on there right now.
Yeah, because what happens if the electricity goes out, and crime will skyrocket. And if you have night vision, at least you can see what's in your yard, and also the predators, both four-legged and two-legged. Right, so I particularly like ATN night vision for a couple of different reasons, which we won't go into. But if the system breaks, and there's a lot of indication that it's going to break, right? There are three things that will be extremely difficult to find. I mean, you'll be able to find a gun if you don't have a gun, but you'll pay dearly for it. Why? Because a lot of people have extra guns, but when you look at night vision, almost nobody has it. And the second part is they don't have extra, right? So they're not going to sell it. So it'll be very hard to find night vision and thermal imaging and body armor. And now we see some of the states trying to limit the purchase of body armor, right? That would be New York passed a law that you have to have a permit to buy body armor.
Why would you need a permit to buy body armor? That's ridiculous.
That's why they're called libtards.
Yeah.
It's retarded. No. What happens, it all depends on what conspiracy you're looking at. If they want the public to be unsafe, then you can't buy body armor, right? If it creates the fear. And whereas, if you look, well, somebody robbed a bank with body armor. Just recently, where was the shooter? Texas. The shooter in Texas that was wearing body armor. But look at that. Okay, so you have what?
And JC, that's like on command. At a time that states are talking about banning body armor, all of a sudden, out of the blue, we have a shooter wearing body armor? I don't buy the coincidence of this.
Well, no, that's the whole thing is that we have some groups trying to take away our rights and take away our guns and our ability to defend ourselves. And so if you just look at, I mean, come on, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that the CCP is flooding our borders with military age men and our country with fentanyl and have Joe Biden wrapped around their little finger. And so what part about the China can't produce enough food to feed their population do people not understand, and that we have the greatest breadbasket on the globe, right? So the Chinese are going to have a very difficult time invading if we all have guns, right? And I think so you can see that there's a plot, I would call it, by the communists to try and take over our farmland.
Yeah, they're doing it one day at a time.
Yeah. And there's going to be a breaking point. Well, one of the things, what the conspiracy is, that they will try to push us into a civil war. So Americans fight Americans and weaken us. Certainly, administration right now is sending much of our military weaponry over to Ukraine, right, and leaving us defenseless, right, and so you just look at the big picture. So and we've already spoken about that our entire supply chain, you know, is vulnerable, and a good amount of it is dependent on China. So they can turn off the supply in a day, right? We'll probably lose, what, I would say 80% of the things we need for farming.
I am fully in the camp, though, now that our only true threat is that civil war you speak of.
I think that there's a combination of dominoes that can happen. If our supply chain gets turned off, and our currency is being rejected, so our buying power drops exponentially, and then let's say then a civil war breaks out between, in this case, the conservatives and the liberals. Mm-hmm. But if you look what's happening right now, they're shipping people. This is something I was going to cover. They're shipping illegal, I don't want, what do you want to call them, invaders, migrants. They're shipping them around the country. So they're shipping them to New York City, right? First, these people are full of diseases, you know, and this has been noted by Michael Yan did a wonderful report on it. But here it goes. New York parents are in an uproar as the city houses the migrants in the school's gymnasiums.
Oh, perfect.
Oh, good.
Put the
good.
Diseased so people next to the kids.
Yes. And then other things happen where the city put the migrants in a hotel. So the hotel had to throw out a wedding party. Can you imagine having a wedding party you've been planning for a year, and then all of a sudden you get like 2 days notice that your rooms have been canceled, right?
Yeah.
And also, even worse, homeless veterans were booted out of New York hotels to make room for the migrants. Are you kidding me? And so if you actually look at that, they are provoking the common decent people of America.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just amazing to see that the existing administrations, mostly in the Democratic cities, are doing almost everything to provoke it. California, what is it? Is now going to pay reparations to any black citizen And you go, well, wait a minute. What about Chinese? What about, you know, Latino? Yeah. What about
the American Indian?
Right. American Indian. Yeah. Hate to say it, guys, but they own the place first. Right. And this is done for nothing more than to provoke divide
100%.
And conquer. Right. And start it. Now you're seeing, which I really like, is you're seeing African Americans coming out and saying, hey, look what they're doing. Don't.
Bovine fecal matter.
Right. Well, it's one slip up in 2 years, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, it's quite good. But now I'm going to just have to regroup. It's roll route. J.C. Cole, Trent Lewis will be back with the second half after this. Let's talk about beef, the true upcycler in protein, taking cellulose material, not good for anything other than fire, and turning that, converting it into the most nutrient-dense food substance on the planet. You show me 6 ounces of beef, I'll show you more available nutrition than you can get anywhere else. And I contend the ruminant animal now is more important than ever because we have a challenge in our feed grains. And yet, you don't need to feed animals grain in order to make beef. In fact, with the certified Piedmontese system, currently we are developing, and I think it's, first I was like, what are we talking about a grass-fed beef program for? Now I think it's pretty insightful because you don't need to rely on grain to have a high-quality eating experience with all of this available nutrition for you, the human. Certified Piedmontese has that grass-fed beef approach, has that no added supplementation in terms of hormones. Hormones are wonderful, but if you choose to have a beef from an animal that hasn't received any, we got your bag. Certified Piedmontese. It comes in a box or a bag. Your choice. CertifiedPiedmontese.com. Welcome back. Roll Route. Trent Lewis alongside J.C. Cole coming to us from an undisclosed location in Wannabe, New Hampshire, but he's actually in New Jersey. Not to be confused with Old Jersey.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to make a note that, you know, if you're looking to do relocation relative to the problems, there's a book out there by Joel Skousen, Skousen, A Strategic Relocation, North American Places. It's a little bit expensive book, but if you're going to relocate, $50 isn't that much. Yeah.
What I know is the Great Plains of America is the worst place to live. Nobody should ever want to relocate to the Great Plains. Just saying.
Of course not. Of course not. Right. Especially Hazard.
Especially Hazard, Nebraska.
But that brings up a very good point. Apparently one of the best places to locate if it really gets bad are the Ozarks. Right. And, geez, even Jesse Ventura did a conspiracy theory show on it. But do you really want to relocate, you know, to a town of 300 people? You know, because I don't know what you're going to do for work, except maybe just farm. But it's one of those things that you're going to have this balance between quality of life and privacy.
Right? I've been to the Ozarks a lot, and there's more trees than farmland. Unless you're going to live on acorns, I'm not sure what you're going to do there either.
Right. Well, there's no perfect location. There's no safe location on this planet. There's just a few safer. And so you're trying to find those safers. And again, I recommend listening to the book by Jonathan Hollerman, Survival Theory, because he breaks it all down. You know, and it's like, you know, but it might be the safest location might be, you know, Siberia, but I wouldn't recommend going there.
It might be good.
And speaking of the Russians,
you might want to try it.
Yeah. I think Putin would get upset if we sent all the libtards to Siberia. All right. All you have to do is put up a Starbucks and give free lattes and see if we could get them all to go. But,
you know, there was a time when I had more than I can count on one hand, friends that were migrating, literally migrating to Siberia and countries that end in the word Stan or the letter Stan. And they were setting up shop. I know a Wisconsin dairyman. I know several beef folks in North Dakota, Montana, Nebraska that went over there and said that it was a great opportunity, but none of them stuck around. They're all back.
Well, at the same time, you know, you can take the bear out of the woods, but you can't take the woods out of the bear.
Yeah.
Right. You know, you're still an American and you're living in another country. So one of the big issues that's happened is that the Russians in the war in Ukraine, the Russians sent in a missile and blew up the ammo depot of depleted uranium shells, which created a radiation spike in Ukraine. Now, you got to think, the British sent in depleted uranium to the largest breadbasket in Europe. You know, this isn't about a war. This is about depopulation. Now, interestingly enough, you know, the Poles are in this fight too, you know, supplying parts, equipment to Ukraine, and maybe rumors are even having Polish military already in Ukraine, which is a violation of NATO. And now the radiation spike is drifting over Poland.
Oh, nice.
It's drifting west. And I'm wondering if the Russians waited for the winds to go that direction and then blew it up and sent it back to Western Europe. You know, and this is a basically, this is not a, how would you say it? The banking families, the old banking families, are trying to start World War III so that they cover up what's being revealed. And that is that they're pedophiles and doing child sacrifice and been stealing money for thousands of years. And now it's being revealed. Right? And now you see Britain pushing hard to start this war. Well, finally, Russia has put to sea with this superior torpedo that creates a tidal wave and wipes out a complete city. And they actually, the Russians came out and said, you know, basically, we will flood you right off the map. And they have and it can't be stopped, apparently. There's no way to stop the torpedo once it's launched. There's not a defense for it. So people are, this chess game is for survival. And the Russians know that they don't do this, they will be removed. Right? And so that's how serious this game is playing out.
With all of that information, and yet every morning, well, he didn't today because he's in Italy, Andrew is accusing us. The information they get is that all we're trying to do is incite World War III. I'm not saying that we're not, but we're not alone in that. And yet the average UK citizen is getting the note that the USA is poking the bear in Russia and trying to cause World War III. It's a unified effort. Everybody's doing their small part, and we have to resist.
That part's true, but then another thing popped up is there's an interviewer known as the Patriot Underground. He's pretty good, and he did an interview with Jim Lilley, interview number 9. I recommend tracking that down and listening to it. Easy to find on the net. And Jim Lilley's basically saying there is a war going on between the American bankers and the European bankers. Okay, well, the British would be the European bankers, and of course, New York would be the American bankers, and it is getting vicious, right? Along with that, the Russians wiped out the cash flow for the dark side of the cabal, in Ukraine, which is where a lot of the human trafficking and drug trafficking was centered. So they're cutting off the cash to the dark side of humanity. And those guys are reacting and they're trying to get start a war to cover it up and get it back. Right. And both America, yeah, America and Britain are send, and I think now France are sending high end missiles to the Ukrainians. Okay. Well, you know, it's just a, it's just going to be one thing, one, you know, straw that breaks the camel's back. And you're going to see, I think, London and New York get shut down, and Washington D.C. Right? You know, Russian. We have three Russian subs off our east coast, right? And you know, and to some degree, we have to prepare for that if it goes that bad. Now we have also the White Hats trying to stop this, but. If it goes that bad, you know, imagine if New York gets flooded and you lose the banking sector and all of Wall Street. You know, our economy shuts down real quick.
Yeah, we tend to forget that's an island, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's even crazier. It's right next to Manhattan, just a little bit onto Long Island, is Babylon, Long Island. And next to them is Jericho. I go, hey, didn't anybody read the book?
Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'll just live in Babylon. Did you ever read the book? Oh, man. That's, you, sometimes you scratch your head and you go, you know, yeah. It's like, again, you know, Scotty, beam me up. There's no intelligent life down here.
Who named that town anyway?
Yeah, right. I don't know. I'd rather go out to Lancaster where you get like sex, you get love. They have some pretty funky names out there in Amish country. No, intercourse. That was it. They have intercourse.
Yeah, intercourse.
Yeah. Right. So, oh man. That's oh, and then and here's another one. If you are watching part of our political establishments destroying our country. The EPA has come out and says U.S. is taking a giant step towards meeting its climate goals. They are pushing for all existing coal-fired plants to be closed by 2040. Well, exactly how are we going to how are we going to live without electricity?
I drove past one last week, Delta, Utah, that is in the process of phasing out right now.
And then you get, what is it, John Kerry. There's a guy that can be retired, meaning no longer politically working. And just for clarification, came out and said, what, 30% of all greenhouse gases is caused by livestock. I mean, did he take any science class? You know, this is just absolutely, you know, road apples. They're pushing this whole thing. You know, it's like, okay, so nitrogen is bad in Holland and this carbon dioxide is bad in America. You know, it's like, when are they going to say, okay, you can't use oxygen. You're polluting by using oxygen. There it is. You're taking in oxygen and putting carbon dioxide, and that's ruining our weather. Of course, anybody who looks into it knows that we had much warmer territory times, you know, thousands of years ago. You know, and so
and, we're and being, more plant growth, by the way, at that same time. Yeah, it is roll. It's roll route. We're into the final segment. J.C. Cole, right after this. Protect the Harvest continues to do that very thing. Protect the Harvest. Protect your property rights. This week has been a tremendous amount of discussion about property rights, particularly with the invasion of the CO2 pipelines. Have a partner that you can trust, a mutual assistance group. That's a perfect scenario. They could be virtual, and that is exactly what Protect the Harvest does, empowers you so that we together can maintain a free and fed America. New look coming to the website, and we will continue to bring the vignettes, the little sound bites about what's important in life and how we can maintain, what's more important than maintaining a free and fed human being, planet, people. Free and fed America. leading to liberty around the world. Sign up for the free email newsletter. Maybe make a contribution to continue the endeavor. ProtectTheHarvest.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce alongside. Colorado and parts of California have already banned oxygen.
Yes, and they're banning rainwater.
If you
was it Oregon and Colorado? That's,
yeah. Well, wait a minute. When you get higher up in the mountains, oxygen's hard to come by. So, see, there's already an oxygen ban.
Right. Got it.
But okay. I mean, I remember the first time. Okay, so this is twofold. I go to Australia in 2011 for the first time, and I go to many places in the outback, and they're living. Their whole sustenance of water is they have a cistern. And by the way, I grew up, the home place for the first Luce had a cistern that the water come off of the roof of the home and goes down into the cistern, and we pump out of the cistern. And I go to Australia and I see they're basically existing, catching rainwater and using it for their household goods. And then right after that, I find out that Oregon was the first state to say, nope, you can't use rainwater. That's a violation of statute.
I'm right. Like, that's
how awesome. Ridiculous is that?
Well, here, let me jump into that favorite thing. What happened this week in history of significance? May 16th, 1918. The Sedition Act was passed by the U.S. Congress, making criticism of the government a imprisonable offense. It forbade the use of disloyal, profane, or abusive language about the United States government, its flag, or its armed forces. Really? So a government can pass whatever laws they want, although, of course, we have this thing called the Constitution, which says we are allowed to say that. These things, right? And it lasted about 2.5 years. It was repealed in 1920. But this shows you that the government can get out of control. And of course, saying that God's blessing of rain is their property.
Yeah.
Right.
It also shows you that what we're dealing with today and the restriction of our liberty, it's not new.
No, it's not.
That's 100 years ago.
Well, it's 200 years ago. I mean, it's from the starting of our country.
Yeah.
You know, the battle over government telling you what to do. So May 16th, 1927, the Supreme Court rules, right, that criminals must pay income tax. Maybe we should tell the Congress that. Oh, I'm sorry.
They're immune.
Right. In 1927, the Supreme Court ruled bootleggers must pay income tax. So what was that? They're using the commerce law and income and the IRS to go after bootleggers. Right. 1927. And what happened? Knocked out the alcohol and the ability of anybody to make it, or they would, fine you. For not paying you taxes.
That's like saying it's illegal to grow marijuana, but if you're going to sell it, you need to pay a tax and get a stamp code.
Right. But remember, tax that's stamp. What they use. They use to lock up Al Capone.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and this is just, and by the way, the whole thing on gun control, it's a commerce law. Right. You have to have a serial number for commerce so they can track it for taxes, right? You know, it's an interstate law. The federal laws are all about interstate travel, right? Because the government didn't have the permission to tell the states what to do. They have the permission on interstate commerce, right?
Yeah, I have my own little pet peeve about that. And I did a diatribe not long ago on another broadcast, and that is in my world, transporting livestock, you can do whatever you want within the state. You cross the state line, and then you've got the federales who are all over you, have a new set of laws and regulations and rules. And I'm currently on probation, by the way, JC, for that direct violation of transporting an animal across the state line without proper documentation and health certificate to do it. But it's just one way that the federal government keeps track of everything, like you buying a chicken and you got to report it. Well, that's a violation of every liberty the Constitution grants us.
And just think, what is New Jersey going to do, a population of, what, 1,200 people per square mile, if we can't import food?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. So May 17th, 1884, Alaska becomes a U.S. territory. We'd already purchased it, but it was now given a change of status, where under the recognition plan that civilians are now in control. Ha!
No, just kidding. We didn't really mean that.
Right, right.
Putting that in perspective, Alaska was a territory for a long time before it was granted statehood, because it wasn't until like 50s or 60s, right?
It was the 60s after, 50s after World War II. I think the same with Hawaii. Right. And it's very interesting because, you know, Puerto Rico is not a state. It's a possession of the federal government. Now, I'm pretty sure in the Constitution that says that the federal government isn't allowed to own much of anything.
It does, including land. And yet they own 1 in 3 acres in the nation. January 3rd, 1959, Alaska becomes the 49th state.
Right. So you know, things are, here's an interesting little blurb, revealed America's food deserts, 76 counties in the U.S. that don't have a single grocery store. Basically 19 million people have trouble accessing a store. Well, I don't think I'd move there unless you really know how to grow your own food.
I'm guessing half of those are in Nebraska.
Well, they did say it was the Midwest and the Great Plains.
Yeah. Because there'd be no reason to have a grocery store in Loup County.
Right. I think, let's see, I'm trying to count up how many I have within 8 miles circumference. I think I have at least 7.
Yeah. But let's put this in the context. I should be able to tell you or pull it up, how many counties in Nebraska of the 93 that don't even have 1,000 people populating the entire county?
You're not supposed to mention that.
All right. That's why there's no grocery store in these counties. That's why you don't want to move here. Blaine County, Nebraska has no grocery store. Don't move there.
Right. There you go. All right. So, you know, when we look at, look, we have a lot of bad things heading our way. And so you got to prepare, get the book, you know, when technology fails, and the other one, Dare to Prepare. Also Survival Theory by Holloman. Those things are going to be needed. And also what I would do is look at, critical things like thermal imaging. Thermal imaging, now you can get it for just under $1,000. Now, it's not the top rated one, but it works. And especially if you have a farm, because I think the predators are going to increase. And of course, they work at night, both the four-legged and the two-legged.
So you got me hung up on this now. One-third of the Nebraska counties have less than 3,000 people.
Right.
And 11 of the, no, 12, 12 of the Nebraska counties have less than 1,000.
Right.
With Blaine County at number 93 on the list. Population of Blaine County, 346.
Might be 47. You never know.
But I'm just thinking a grocery store is not going to work so good there. I don't know. No. Something tells me.
That turnover is a little bit slim.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the reason it's not going to work is they don't have anybody to work it. You couldn't have keep your shelves stocked or anything.
Right. And so, you know, when you look at my county is 320,000 people, and we are not the most densely populated. Which is a scary thought. So, you know, if it goes bad, if the lights go out, New Jersey is not the place to be. And by the way, New Jersey is basically a big peninsula. You know, you have the Atlantic Ocean on the east, and you have the Delaware River on the west, and you only have a 40-mile land bridge at the top to New York State. So you got to be careful about living on peninsulas like Florida. 15 million people on two exits. That's not very good.
No, you won't catch me living in either one of those states, just saying.
Right. Although parts of New Jersey are quite charming, but you know, in some ways the quality of life could be quite good here because you can get into New York, you can get to the mountains in Pennsylvania, you can get to the ocean. But we're not looking at quality of life if the systems break. And we're seeing very much that the systems break. By the way, that's one of the things that's coming up is that the United States, they call it the X date, right? When the Treasury runs out of money, okay, is now June the 5th. As the Treasury burned through $52 billion in one day, damn, couldn't they throw, you know, a little over this way? But
30 seconds, JC.
Well, I'd say, you know, prepare, get the essentials that you need. You know, think about if you have to relocate, where you're going to relocate to, and have connections there. Now build your support team.
Mutual assistance group. I like it. We've successfully journeyed down the road, connecting rural and urban, connecting food producers to food consumers, connecting counties that have a grocery store with those that do not. And you will not want to relocate to the Great Plains of America. On behalf of J.C. Cole, I'm Trent Luce. Both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a roll route. And in closing today, we can accomplish all of this thanks to the veterans of this nation, the first responders, the so many people that have contributed to our freedom. It's up to us to maintain it. And the Wall of Honor is a great way for us to show our appreciation, respect, and honor for those that have made the sacrifice so that we can, 247 years later, still have a free and fed America, still have the rights to speak up and control this country at the local level. TheWallOfHonor.org for full details about being a part of saying thank you. TheWallOfHonor.org.